जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी। यशोदनन्दन व्रज यमुनतीरावनचारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। एवं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमदेसि भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। एवं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की अमाचार्य श्रील हरदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवसादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिर गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की, श्री मायापुर धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगमय की यमुनमय की जय। तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय। श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपालकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो वेलकम एवरीवन। सो विल रीड फ्रॉम 5th कैंटो 14th चैप्टर 37th वर्स। सो दिस इज अ प्रोस, सो आई विल जस्ट रीड द वर्स एंड ट्रांसलेशन। एवं वित्त व्यतिशंगा विवृद्ध वैरानुबंधोपि पूर्ववासनया मिथा उद्वहति अथ अपवहति। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ऑल्दो पीपल मे बी एनिमीज, इन ऑर्डर टू फुलफिल देयर डिजायर्स अगेन एंड अगेन, they sometimes get married. Unfortunately, these marriages do not last very long, and the people involved are separated again by divorce or other means. Purport. As stated previously, every conditioned soul has the propensity to cheat, even in marriage. Everywhere in this material world, one conditioned soul is envious of another. For the time being, people may remain friends, but eventually they become enemies again and fight over money. Sometimes they marry and then separate by divorce or other means. On the whole, unity is never permanent. Due to the cheating propensity, both parties always remain envious. Even in Krishna consciousness, separation and enmity take place due to the prominence of material propensities. I'll read the next verse and translation also. Translation: the path of this material world is full of material miseries, and various troubles disturb the conditioned souls. Sometimes he loses and sometimes he gains. In either case, the path is full of danger. Sometimes the conditioned soul is separated from his father by death or other circumstances. Leaving him aside, he gradually becomes attached to others, such as his children. In this way, the conditioned soul is sometimes illusioned and afraid. Sometimes he cries loudly out of fear. Sometimes he is happy maintaining his family. And sometimes he is overjoyed and sings melodiously. In this way, he becomes entangled and forgets his separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead since time immemorial. Thus, he traverses the dangerous path of material existence, and on this path he is not at all happy. Those who are self-realized simply take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to get out of this dangerous material existence. Without accepting the devotional path, one cannot get out of the clutches of material existence. The conclusion is that no one can be happy in material life. One must take to Krishna consciousness. Purport. By thoroughly analyzing the materialistic way of life, any sane man can understand that there is not the least happiness in this world. However, due to continuing on the path of danger from time immemorial and not associating with saintly persons, the conditioned soul under illusion wants to enjoy this material world. Material energy sometimes gives him a chance at so-called happiness, but the conditioned soul is perpetually being punished by material nature. It is therefore said, Dandya jane raja yena nadite chubaya. Materialistic life means continuous unhappiness, but sometimes we accept happiness as it appears between the gaps. Sometimes a condemned person is submerged in water and howled out. Actually, all of this is meant for punishment, but he feels a little comfort when he is taken out of the water. This is the situation with the conditioned soul. All the shastras, therefore, advise that one associate with devotees and saintly people. Sadhu sanga sarva shastra kai, lava matra sadhu sange sarva siddhi hoy. Even by a little association with devotees, the conditioned soul can get out of this miserable material condition. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to give everyone a chance to associate with saintly people. Therefore, all the members of this Krishna consciousness society must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls. This is the best humanitarian work. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunadanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. Vancha Kalpa Tarobhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namavom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharuni Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desha Tarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, welcome everyone for the morning Bhagavatam discussion. So, we are reading from 5th canto, 14th chapter. We are towards the end of the chapter. So, where the discussion of the Jadabharat with Rahugana that is being discussed, So where Jadabharat is, Bharat Maharaj in his next life, he is explaining to Rahugana all the miseries that a conditioned soul undergoes when he comes to this material world. So it is described that he is speaking all these things so that he wants to generate detachment in Rahugana, so that he will immediately take up to the path of devotional service. So he is speaking all these different miseries that a conditioned soul experiences. So last few months, almost one or two months, we are discussing how a living entity, when he enters this path of forest of material enjoyment, like this is one forest where a traveler enters into a forest to find some money, some gain, but in the forest he suffers. So this analogy is used to explain that a conditioned soul, he wanted to derive some pleasure apart from Krishna, and he has entered into this material world acquiring false ego, and he is traveling in this samsara. So, and there are a lot of analogies that are given, that how in a forest he is getting troubled by so many different things. Similar analogies, how in a conditioned life a living entity suffers due to so many various troubles. So those are all analogies are given. So here in this particular discussion, it is mentioned that, so he is like getting, he wants to generate some money, he wants to have some money, but because he wants to get some money, he develops some enmity with other people. And although there is enmity among the people, but still he gets married. So sometimes he gets married, but the basic enjoyment tendency is there even in that marriage also. So like when someone is like entering into that that married life with the tendency, with the motive that I want to enjoy, and the same happens with the opposite other person also, like I want to enjoy. So both parties, when they enter into that mood, so that may not be like Prabhupada writing in this purport that that is due to cheating propensity. Both parties always remain envious. So like both parties want to exploit each other, want to derive. So that mentality will not long last. So therefore they may get separated. So in this way, even in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says that separation and enmity takes place. That is because, not because of Krishna consciousness, but because even in Krishna consciousness, we bring material consciousness, material propensities. So he is saying that separation and enmity takes place even in Krishna consciousness due to the prominence of material propensities. So it's not that ashram or the Krishna consciousness, that is not the problem. It is the how we bring material tendencies to our life. So that makes the like dealing with the other personalities becomes difficult, and there is enviousness, enmity, and all these separations, even in quarrels. So all these things will happen. So in this way, like this material world is said to be full of material miseries, and it is mentioned that full of danger, sometimes he may feel happiness and sometimes he may feel lamentation. So all these things simultaneously happens. So it is mentioned that in general in this material world there is lot of misery, but in order to make a conditioned soul being contented with this world, sometimes Maya gives enjoyment. So Prabhupada is quoting here that a king, he gives punishment and he dips that person in water, and at the time when he is about to die, or about he is like extremely this feeling I want air, So that time he will be again lifted out and he feels lot of relief. But again he is kept back. So this is compared to the life in material world. So like Kapiladeva also describes the same thing in these two chapters, how miseries are there. So Kapiladeva also describes that a conditioned soul, basically he does not understand the power of time, and therefore he like how strong this power of time. So therefore he wants to he is with lot of effort, he gains something in this, he puts lot of effort to attain something in this world, but he doesn't know that in the form of time factor, either those things that he attained, they will be separated or he will be separated from them. So separation is inevitable. Therefore he laments, either when they are gone or when he is about to leave them, both times he laments. But the problem is that he feels happy when he is enjoying those tendencies. So he is not able to recognize. So later on in fourth canto also, in Puranjan episode, Narada Muni gives this analogy that a deer is happily grazing the grass, but he doesn't understand that besides him there is a tiger which is about to eat him, and somewhere in other corner one hunter is there to hunt him. So in this way deer's death is imminent, but still he is happily grazing. So this is the condition of the all the conditioned soul who want to enjoy, but they don't the time factor is not recognizable, because sometimes that happiness absorbed in that happiness. In another analogy, in somewhere it is mentioned that the analogy that of a person falling into a blind well, but somehow he gets some creeper to hang on, and that creeper below that, in that well there is a crocodile that is about to devour him, and above that creeper some mouse is coming, and two mouses are coming and cutting those creeper, and he will about to fall down. That is like compared to day and night, which is like cutting the edge and he will fall down. And so like that, but in that miserable situation also some two drops of honey are falling. So that is compared to the material happiness. So but he feels that he is happy by drinking that honey. So in this way he the illusory nature of the Maya is such that wherever, in whatever species he goes, whatever situation events, he feels he is happy in such a condition. So that is how illusory nature works. So therefore he doesn't get that desire, and he many times he doesn't even understand that he is suffering. So because sometimes some disciples of Prabhupada said that we are getting some happiness. So then sometimes Prabhupada mentioned that actually only when a person who completely experiences bliss in Krishna consciousness, he can only say I am experiencing happiness. Unless a person experiences higher thing, he cannot say that there is much happiness. So conditioned soul in this world, because he is not experiencing any happiness of spiritual thing, he thinks that whatever happiness that he derives from material things, that is the only thing that is there, and therefore he tries all his efforts to enjoy those material things. And whatever things he could do to destroy, whatever things he can do to attain as much pleasure as from those senses, he will try. And in doing that there will be miseries, so he always try his level best to avoid those miseries. And he thinks that these are the things that are existing. So in this way he is entangled. So there are someone may say, what is wrong with enjoying material things, material senses. So there are, and Chaitanya Charan Prabhu gives some, like there are some pitfalls in the material enjoyment, material sense gratification. So we will see some of them. What is wrong with this enjoyment tendency, like we can gain something. But material pleasure, the enjoyment that one gains through senses, although it may give some pleasure, but material pleasure and pain, they are like twins. Twins means like they are like both are sides of the same coin. Head and tail both exist in a coin. Similarly, if one wants to enjoy material pleasure, there is side by side, pain is also accompanied. So, like one cannot derive any pleasure without experiencing pain, right? So, like cigarette, it is mentioned that cigarette causes holes both in our pockets and as well as lungs. So, it's like although people know cigarette is very danger, but still they cannot give it up. And pleasure, by drinking cigarette, pleasure is attained, but it gives pain also, right? So if someone drinks liquor, the liver stops living and the liver also stops living. So means liver gets damaged and the liver who is living, he will also stops living. So all these things are there, but still people doesn't recognize the pain, and they only like immediately we get caught up with the immediate pleasure, but not seeing the pain associated with this there. So if some heat is there, cold is also there. If happiness is there, some distress is there. And to the extent we relish honor, to that extent if some dishonor comes, we have to suffer that pain. So because everything comes together, jubilation, lamentation. So it is a world of duality. So if we are ditching some land, so that ditching will create some mount somewhere else. So pain and pleasure both will come together. So they are like compared to twins. And also this material pleasure is limited, but it can lead to unlimited pain. So it's like the amount of pleasure that one derives may be very limited, but the pain that derives that he from that pleasure, that may be very long, very more compared to the amount of pleasure he may gain. And also sometimes this material pleasure is also compared to a mirage. So like as a forest, he is entering into this. So mirage is, it appears pleasure, but it is actually doesn't give pleasure. So means we may hanker some things, but it's like some people may try to attain some material pleasure, but it may not come only, even if one tries very hard. So sometimes it may appear like a mirage. Although there is some water, it appears to be some water, but actually if one goes to that mirage, there will be no water. So one may have so much contemplation that I will derive lot of pleasure by some sense pleasure, by eating or any other thing. But ultimately that may not give that much fulfillment. So it is like compared to mirage. And another thing is that this material pleasure is not new. Not new in the sense like a conditioned soul experiences this for several lifetimes. And even in this lifetime also, so many times previously also you might have experienced. It is compared to punah punah charvita charvananam. That means already one has chewed, chewing the chewed will not give any taste. So actually this material pleasure is not new. Conditioned soul experienced this pleasure many times, but still he is hankering again and again. But actually the Krishna consciousness relishing the service to Krishna, that is actually, that will actually new for a conditioned soul, and he will never get tired. Exactly, there are many shlokas in Bhagavatam where it says that swadu swadu pade pade, we are never tired of hearing your glories, we are never tired of relishing your, seeing your lotus feet. So the Krishna consciousness is new for the conditioned soul. So, and also the one more thing for mentioned about material pleasure is that after some time it will cease to give pleasure, although it may initially give pleasure. Like, so for example, if you eat some sweet, so initially it may taste very nice, but how long we can eat that, like we cannot eat 3-4, so after some time it will stop giving pleasure, right? So like so many things are similar to this material pleasure. We may think that it will give a lot of pleasure, but after some time it will stop giving pleasure. And also it is mentioned that material pleasure is actually in the mind, but not in the objects that we chase after. So sometimes, like, it is mind only which contemplates lot of things, and because of that mind one derives that pleasure. So rather than the objects that he is chasing, and so in general there is a lot of contemplation that these things will give me pleasure, but actually all those contemplation is in the mind, and it is only the senses that give that sense, the sensations to the mind, and that mind, the feelings of those mind, one is feeling that he is happy. So these pleasures are actually the sensations that the mind is experiencing. So in this way one can understand that mind is only getting giving the variations in the fluctuations in the mind sensations is only, we are thinking that object is giving pleasure. And also the more time is spent in acquiring that material thing rather than the amount of time one spends in enjoying that. So like if you see, there may be like a person may be trying so hard to attain some little pleasure. He may work so hard day and night to attain some insignificant pleasure. That is how it is compared. So whole night they may, like it is sometimes it is said in circles that people work so hard and day and night destroying their health to acquire some wealth, but the time when wealth comes, the health gets destroyed and they cannot enjoy. So it's like so much time is spent in the pursuit of pleasure rather than the actual enjoyment. And so actual pleasure, amount of pain coupled with the pleasure is far greater than the pleasure that one derives. And sometimes the material pleasure is risky and dangerous also. Like a person, he is entering this forest of material enjoyment, but there are lot of animals are there to devour him. So it may seem pleasurable, like honey, to remove that honey from honeycomb, it may seem pleasurable, we can enjoy honey, but the sting of honeybees, that may kill that person. So it is very risky and dangerous, just like a person is entering forest to gain some wealth. So, and also Prabhupada is quoting that the person, when he is relieved from water to get some air, he is feeling very satisfied, and again he is again dipped back. So similarly, material pleasure is just temporary mitigation of some suffering. So sometimes he may get relief from some suffering, and that seems to be pleasure, But actually, as a nature, soul is Sachidananda. So he is under illusion. He is thinking that whatever pain or pleasure that he is experiencing in this material, that is all in all. Original nature he forgot. And this material pleasure can be finished at any time. So time factor is such thing that suddenly the object of enjoyment may be finished, or he himself can be taken out of from that thing, and it cannot satisfy the soul. Basically, the main thing is that although material pleasure, it may give some happiness to the senses, but ultimately the original nature of the soul will not get satisfied. And it is sometimes it is mentioned that it kills the soul. That analogy is good. Although soul cannot be killed, but Atmaha, Pashugna, these words are used in Bhagavatam, saying that it kills the soul means the it kills the original nature of the soul, which is Sachidananda, and original nature to serve the Lord, that propensity it will kill. So therefore, these are all different aspects of material enjoyment, which is basically coming from false ego. So like we are, as a soul is originally the part and parcel of Krishna, serving Krishna. But due to ahankara, false ego, he is in this material world. So this ahankara, the tendencies of ahankara is that, one is that enjoyership, that is trying to enjoy these material things, and these are all the things that will come through and through that enjoyment tendencies. And another aspect of this false ego is that doership or controllership, or thinking that I am great. So this is one more angle of ahankara. So this pride that I am the doer, and what are all things I am doing, those are all achieved by my own self. So this is one more nature of ahankara. So this is also making that conditioned soul suffering in this forest of material enjoyment. So the nature of false ego, one analogy nicely explained in Bhagavatam, is that in a rainy season, the moon gives light and cloud covers that light, and moon or sun gives light, and when a cloud is there, because of cloud covering, one cannot see the moon or sun, and that cloud appears shining. So actually this analogy is used, actually it is the soul which gives consciousness to the ahankara, and because of that ahankara we will not be able to see the soul, but actually that consciousness for that ahankara is coming from actually soul. So similarly, soul is pure, and soul is cannot be contaminated. He is part and parcel of the Lord, but because of maya, that maya has this potency of avidya shakti, and because of that avidya shakti, that ahankar, he is identifying with this body, and because of that he is experiencing false pride. So out of like this is like I'm quoting from one lecture of Maharaj Radha, sorry, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, where he is elaborating on the nature of this false pride. So out of all the powerful things of Maya, what is the most dangerous, or what is the most difficult to overcome thing? That is false pride. So ego, material ego, false pride, I am the great. So that is very very difficult to overcome. So this false pride actually, like it makes everyone identify with our bodies. Even a blade of grass is also a soul, completely Sachidananda. But because of false pride, that Sachidananda soul, even in a blade of grass, is also like completely covered in its quality, and is thinking that I am simply a blade of grass. I simply exist. I simply grow. It is not able to do any of the activities because of complete coverance of that false pride. So we are like in this way, he is thinking that he is false ego, and even in that human body, this because of this false pride, we are thinking that we are enjoyers and whatever we are doing, so like that is due to our accomplishments we are achieving anything. So sometimes people may think whatever we do in this world, so that may create pride that I am the doer, so therefore I will not do anything. So like that some may think, but actually even in case of Jadabharat, where he is preaching to Rahugana, he was Jadabharat in his previous life, he was Bharat Maharaj, but he tried to save a deer. But even saving a deer, that got entangled him. Like if it is an act of sattvaguna, but still, because he is thinking that I am saving this deer, so that mentality that I am the saver, like Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhrudam Sarvabhutanam Jnatvamam Shanti Mruchati. So there are three aspects that are mentioned. That Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Krishna is the real enjoyer of all the yajnas and tapasya. But if conditioned soul thinks that he is the enjoyer of material pleasure, he doesn't derive happiness. And Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Krishna is the controller of everything, but if a person thinks that I am the controller of everyone, he will not derive happiness. And Suhrudam Sarvabhutanam, actually Krishna is the original well-wisher for all the conditioned souls. But if someone thinks that I am the well-wisher, so that is also false ego and that is also binding. So Bharat Maharaj, he thought that I am helping this deer. So that also costed him. So therefore he got next birth. So even the mode of goodness activities, they are also binding. If we think that we can help someone or without considering the Krishna factor, so that is also binding. So therefore Jadabharat, he is acting as if dumb and dull, and he is not even performing even ordinary nice activities, so that people may consider him as a mad person, and he is feeling, okay, I am very safe in this position, so I am not thinking that I am doing any good work, so I will be much safer position. So in this way he is, although other people are not recognizing him, he is not hankering and he wants that position. So in this way he is passing his life. But when he comes to Rahugana, he again helped him. So previously he got entangled while helping a deer, but Rahugana is preaching and enlightening him. So the difference is that previously he tried to help him on the bodily level, but now for Rahugana, he is helping him on the soul level. So in that way, and he actually, now we are at the end of this section. After this, Rahugana was completely converted and he became a devotee. So although he is a preacher and he got converted a king of the world into preacher, but immediately he did not identify any of those things with that glory or anything. Immediately again he behaved like a Jadabharat and moved on. So he is completely conscious not for his situation on not getting enamored by false pride. So that I am the person who is doing. So this aspect of giving credit to the giving credit to Guru and Krishna, so like false pride is there, like whatever activity we do, we may gain develop that mentality that because of me these things happened. So like if someone has performed so much devotional service, and but still if someone, we are all thinking that I have done this, we have done this, and we are chanting since so many years, so all these things, we are actually performing all these devotional activities for the pleasure of Krishna. But out of these, if you are thinking that oh, I have done this, and because of me, because of my this thing, I am able to do all these things. That is again entangling us. So therefore, we should come out of this thinking that I am, because of my endeavor, all these things are achieved. And glorification, self-glorification, if someone, like if we boast of our activities in front of Vaishnavas, so Vaishnavas feel like someone is boasting, then they feel pity on that person. Oh, although he has done good, nice things, he is still boasting himself, so he has still yet to progress. And if someone boasts about themselves in front of a materialist, although he may see some greatness, but he feel envious. So in both the places, even with the devotee circle, with the sadhus, even with materialists, if we boast about our things, both times we experience suffering. So why we get so much infatuation with this boasting? Because we are basically insecure. Maharaj is saying that we are basically insecure, that we are actually not experiencing the real pride of identifying ourselves as part and parcel of Krishna and servants of our Guru. Actually, Prabhupada mentioned that we can overcome all these avidya and these things by association of sadhus. So the association of sadhus in that sadhu sangha, the real thing is that we have to develop the real pride. So that real pride means we should identify ourselves that how Krishna is having so many wonderful qualities. So how he is liberating the enemies also, how he has so much wonderful beauty, and how he is performing so many wonderful pastimes. Our Krishna is so great, how Lord Chaitanya is so great. He is liberating even the most degraded persons like Jaga and Madai. So his activities are so wonderful. Our Acharya, our Guru's activities are so great. The austerities of Raghunath Das Goswami, how he performed, and how Srila Prabhupada went and preached all over the world. So in these activities of our Gurus and our Lord, we should take pride. So that is actually our real pride. If we don't experience that real pride, we may take pleasure in our own glorification. So that is actually false pride. So when we again and again offer credits, whatever we are achieving, to Guru and the Lord, so then we will be freed from this ahankara. So in this way, we should identify ourselves as the real, servant of the Guru and Vaishnavas, and we should never try to, like Maharaj is mentioning, that a Vaishnava, he always want to serve all Vaishnavas and the Lord, and he never want to be recognized. But if Guru and Vaishnavas and the Lord, they want to give recognition, they will put him into limelight. But on his own, a Vaishnava never tries to come to, like, seeking that pleasure of glory and other things. He always thinks that whatever he is able to achieve or anything, he wants to give credit to them, and as a humble servant, he wants to serve them. So that is the original nature. And that insecurity, why he want to this thing, that insecurity, because he is not actually deriving pleasure in the greatness of one's Gurus and the Lord. When one is not deriving bliss from there, then he is trying to derive some bliss from his own glorification. So we should actually seeking that pride in God and our Gurus. Then we can overcome this tendency of this ahankara. So in this way, Rahugana, Jadbharat is giving all these teachings, explaining all the nature of this material enjoyment, how he is suffering. And when one understands all these sufferings and how he is entangled, and by taking to the path of Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees, then he will be come out. Prabhupada is writing that only in the association of devotees people will, like, one can come out of this entanglement. So therefore it is a duty of even the devotees of this movement also be exemplary, being perfect sadhu. So, like, this is a tall order Prabhupada is expecting from all of us, to trying to be sadhus and provide association of devotees to all the people so that they will come out of this material entanglement. This is the best humanitarian work Prabhupada is writing. So in this way this section is there. So I will stop here. If anyone wants to add any comments or anything, they can. Otherwise we'll end here. So thank you everyone. Rendra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.